Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to trymeowgreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's try M-E-O-W. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The virus. The reports of the virus around the world are that it continues to spread, the Omicron variant. However, the question of what is to be done is open in Europe, in Asia, and in North America. I welcome Daniel Henniger, the deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. Dan, from your most recent Wonderland column, you enter into the debate. What is to be done? The virus has changed into Omicron, which is highly transmissible, but is not showing damage to the healthcare system, to the hospitals, not even especially to the death rate. What is to be done is the question. There are various governments, but the government that I know best is here in the Northeast, and it right now is insisting we maintain the mandates that were in place for the Alpha variant of the early pandemic and the Delta variant of last summer. What is to be done, Dan? What is your recommendation? Good evening to you.
Hi there, John. Well, as the headline of my column put it, the thing to do is to end the COVID panic right now. And I think it's going to require an official declaration of the end of this phase of the pandemic by no less than the President of the United States, just as the political leadership in Norway, Denmark, and the United Kingdom and Sweden have done in the past week. And I do think it takes a declaration by the political leadership to do this, because otherwise the inertial force of the pandemic policies just grind on at lower levels. And I'm glad you began with Omicron, because Omicron has been a fascinating phenomenon in terms of the way it affected our lives. It came after the Alpha, then the Delta, and we thought we were sort of emerging from the pandemic, and then Omicron hit. And it became pretty clear from the start that Omicron was not as destructive or damaging as the others, except that it was highly transmissible and highly infectious. And indeed, it has been. And somehow, I think the mindset of people reverted to early 2020. We didn't quite get the lockdowns, but we got the mania surrounding mask wearing and testing. God knows the long lines for people to test and getting tested before you were going away on holidays. And I think something snapped psychologically in the country. People had put up with so much for so long in many states and tried to comply. And this was the last straw. It just broke them down. And you just began to hear anecdotally and see reporting in the news of parents and families that just couldn't take it anymore. And so it looked clear that the damage being done to the United States from what was being done to the economy and the psychology of people was getting to far exceed the actual damage being done by the virus to individuals. Yes, the death count was still high because of the infectiousness of Omicron, but it just was not a situation resembling what had happened to us in March, April of 2020. And so I think it became more and more clear to people that enough was enough and that we have to somehow get back to living our lives in a normal way. And that's going to require a statement, I think, from the President of the United States.
The leaders of countries, I go through, Dan refers to Scandinavia. The Prime Minister of Norway, Stor, announced Tuesday that Norway's restrictions would end. The Prime Minister of Denmark announced on the same day that the country no longer considers COVID-19 to be, quote, socially critical disease. The quote, the pandemic is still here, but what we know, we now dare to believe that we are through the critical phase. And the Prime Minister of Sweden, Anderson, the largest country in Scandinavia, announced that all of the country's restrictions would end on February 9th. I have this icing on the cake, Dan. This is the World Health Organization. The regional director for Europe, Hans Kluge, the quote, this period of higher protection should be seen as a ceasefire that could bring us enduring peace. Do you hear mitigating remarks from the leadership in the states that are still insisting upon the mandates of last year? And I'm looking at California, Illinois, and New York especially. Is there anybody walking anything back, Dan?
Not really. In New York is especially interesting case study in all this because, you know, public policy towards the virus around the United States the past 2 years, we know, did vary between so-called red and blue states, Texas, Florida versus, say, California and New York. And we know that the economies of the states that were less restrictive came back much more strongly. But through that period of the past 2 years, it was New York, and it was indeed Governor Andrew Cuomo, who became a paradigm of what was then thought to be right thinking about the virus and compliance and restrictions and isolation, mask wearing, and the rest of it. All of that, of course, was before Governor Cuomo fell from grace and resigned from office. And Governor Hochul, his successor, and certainly as a continuing thing in California with Governor Gavin Newsom, they've been quite tentative about stepping away from the strictures that were in place for so long. But you can just feel, John, the momentum is building that is going to push, I think, even them towards relaxing the restrictions. But, you know, in the United States, the media pours stories out about COVID every day. We have White House briefings every day. The Centers for Disease Control, for all the confusion it has found itself in, still sits there as kind of an arbiter of what our attitudes and policy should be towards COVID. So I do think ultimately it requires a statement from Washington. And I'm really quite hopeful that perhaps Joe Biden will find an excuse to use his State of the Union speech March 1st to make that announcement, if for no other reason, John, that it would help him politically. I mean, the guy is in a free fall now with much of the public. And I think if he were to ring down the curtain on the pandemic, it would give him, so to speak, a shot in the arm politically.
Governor Hochul of New York, who assumed the chair after Mr. Cuomo's departure, Governor Hochul's in an election campaign, doing very well in the polls. This is a Democratic state. Do you believe she's restrained from making changes before the election because of the possibility she'll be castigated?
I think so. Governor Hochul is being very, very careful. And then maybe almost too careful to a fault. Both she and the new mayor in New York City, Eric Adams, always seem to feel that they have to look over their shoulder at the progressive Democrats in New York City and New York State and not alienate them, as, you know, just as Governor Mayor Adams tries to combat crime and Governor Hochul tries to run for reelection. So there is a tentativeness there. And frankly, it ultimately ends up as a kind of diminution of leadership on the governor's part. She's just a little bit afraid to get out ahead on some of these issues. But boy, anyone who's lived in New York City for the past 2 years knows that there is a sourness of mood, that Broadway is on, then it's off. The clubs are half open, then they're half closed. The hospitality. you know, she could give this economy such a shot in the arm by saying we're stepping away from these restrictions. I think she'd help herself a lot politically, but I'm not holding my breath in the expectation that Governor Hochul will do this anytime soon.
Daniel Henniger is the deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. He writes the column Wonderland, looking to springtime. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Ever notice your dog slowing down and having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Rough Greens to your dog's food for 90 days and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Rough Greens here, and I invite you to give your pup the Rough Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your dog will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch your dog a free Jumpstart trial bag today. Go to tryroughgreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. That's TRYRUFF. Go to tryroughgreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your dog's food to improve your dog's health. Just add a scoop of Rough Greens.